ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ascend, ascend with me. Put your arm in mine, and we will walk together up the spiral stair of twilight. See how the rooms unfold in violet and smoke. See how the chestnut grain widens toward the bar. Sit with me a while, and we shall have an evening's escape in the moon underwater. That Shakespearean rag is here in my hand as I use it to wipe down the bar at the moon underwater. And sitting opposite me, as I complete the ablutions of the moon underwater, is the lovely Robin, my regular at heart. Robin, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, because I've got this oh-ho-ho Shakespearean rag in my hand.
That's from the wasteland. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, it is. I've actually got the original Shakespearean rag.
Why are you saying Shakespearean?
Because that's how T.S. Eliot pronounces it.
Ah.
I don't know whether he's just trying to fit in with his meter or his rhyme scheme or whatever. You know, he makes his own choices.
Yep.
He's picked his team.
You're right.
Yeah. There's a bit of windy pops here. Quite deep into a bottle of wine here at the Moon Underwater.
Mm.
You join us at a lake juncture. In the evening supping, and the moon underwater has revealed a beautiful Sicilian white wine to me. And I thank it, and I praise it, and I am it. But Robin, you and your pubs, for goodness sake, as I live and breathe, talk to me. Give me your thoughts and feelings.
The week in pubs, the pub in weeks.
I should point out, I'm John Robbins, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a pub in which we invite a guest every week to pick their dream bar and fulfil it with all of their deepest needs.
I should point out.
Yeah, sometimes I forget to do that. Because
yeah.
Here at the Moon Underwater, guys, I don't know if you've ever been into a pub of the mind, but it sweats and it swathes. It hefts and it breathes in many ways. And I'm sat amongst a great deal of sort of pub paraphernalia, all of which is very befitting. I won't go into any more detail. But Robin,
yes.
You have the smell of the pub about you, and not just because you're in a pub, but it's like you've brought in a smell from another pub.
Well, last week I met up with my friend Jack, and he came down to Forest Hill. And, you know, normally in Forest Hill, I just tend to go to the Sylvan Post, which is a lovely pub. It used to be a post office. And opposite the Sylvan Post, there are two other pubs, the Bird in Hand and the Hill, which I've just never been to before. So Jack came down, we thought, well, let's do a little crawl of the Forest Hill region. And guess what? They're both great, really friendly, and two drinks in one cost the same as one over the road, if you know what
I mean. No way, Jose.
Yeah. And in the hill, they were doing karaoke, and Jack did a stunning rendition of Find Me Somebody to Love by Queen.
Somebody to Love by Queen.
Yeah, can you find
Did he hit all the notes? Did he do the opening note?
He did.
He did the opening note?
Yeah.
It's very hard to hit with no run-up.
He did brilliantly, and unfortunately the mic wasn't working for him, so he had to really belt it into the pub.
Wow.
And then,
hang on.
Yeah.
So he's done, and then he's gone, and I can't even do this. He's then gone up that scale.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Amazing.
And then I'm a big fan of singing Lady in Red. There's a YouTube video of me singing at the 9:30 Club in Washington, D.C. And yes, so I did Lady in Red. And would you like to hear a little clip of it?
Well, yes, I saw footage in the press of you doing Lady in Red, but I would love our listeners to hear your rendition. There you go.
What you're missing out on there is the chalice of Stella I was holding as I was performing it.
I found it, I must say, very moving.
Yeah. Very high notes in that song, you know. And I'm really, I've got a bass. I think I can go really low. I'm a low-voiced singer.
No, Ted, he asked for someone with a very boring voice.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting topic, karaoke songs that are harder to sing than you think. Angels, Robbie Williams.
Yeah, that's hard. I tell you what, Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. Lot of lyrics.
Lot of lyrics, and as Brian May said, Freddie absolutely shredded his throat doing that. He, like, pretty much sang till he bled, because that is a tough song to sing. I mean, Queen are a good example of songs that everyone knows and probably sings along to, but actually to hit the notes is almost impossible.
Yeah. Tell you who is quite good. Maybe it's just my vocal range, but Smiths, Morrissey.
Well, that's another topic. Songs that are easier to sing than you think.
Yeah. But I had a great night. And, you know, I think the moral of the story is, you know, try out these local pubs, even if, you know, for whatever reason you think, oh, I might, you know, I'll go to the trendy craft beer place first. Go to the other ones. It was a great community kind of feeling in there. Really, really friendly, really nice staff.
Yes, because you never know what's behind those doors. And it may be just from habit. It may be from a little bit of snobbery. It may be from just a vibe you get from the exterior. Never judge a pub by its cover.
This is true, actually, because I wanted to say there's a great pub which we love a lot, and I won't say its name because the reveal is extraordinary, but the last time I went there, I did not like the vibe once I got there. It did not live up to the reveal.
Okay, yeah, I know the pub you're talking about. I think it's something to do with their COVID regulations and the manner of the bar staff.
Mm, yeah.
They've got a little bit sort of get them in, get them out.
Yeah, just the barman was really, really just off.
Are we talking about the one near KKZ?
Yeah.
I know the pub you're talking about, but we don't want to shame them.
No.
But they do have some Google reviews that back up our theory.
Mm.
Anyway, Robin, I heard you sighing.
Yes.
But over three octaves you sighed.
I sighed, yeah. My voice is in good nick, as you will have heard. Yeah, so...
Yeah, so talk to us about the mist.
Got a lovely mist in from Gordon, from Chester, now living in London, with the subject, Interesting Pub Names. Dear John and Robin, on the subject of interesting pub names, I'd like to submit for your consideration the fantastic Marlborough Arms in Chester. Officially, there is nothing particularly noteworthy about it, but if you look closely at the physical sign on the pub, you may notice, if you aren't already under the influence, that the name is actually spelt Marlborough Arms. Marlborough. Marlborough Arms. An extra or. Legend has it that many moons ago, the sign writer was doing his thing when he saw through the window a ghost.
This sounds like such a lie.
A ghostly apparition, which gave him such a fright he committed the fateful typo that has been preserved to this day. My mother happens to be a Chester ghost tour guide, so I know this to be true. Well, you know the story to be true. You don't know the ghost to be true.
But I love the idea of a typo happening in, like, paint.
Yeah.
It's not, like, autocorrect.
No. That would really cause havoc with American tourists, I think, who struggle with boroughs as it is. Luga Baruga as Loughborough. You might call Marlborough.
Yeah.
I hope it is of some comfort that even when we depart the earthly realm, our souls may linger on, enjoying our favourite pubs for a little while longer. Yours in pubs, Gordon. Love it.
Do you think they have pubs in heaven, Robin?
Yeah.
And do they have pubs in hell?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sorted. Both options.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your missed mail. You can send your missed to john@moonunderpod.com. And if you would like to support us, if you would like to add a little bit of lilac to the dusk light here at the Moon Underwater, you can go to moonunderpod.com to support us on Patreon. Hopefully we'll have some more live dates in the future. And certain Patreon memberships get early access to those tickets. But Robin.
Yeah.
Look at the place.
It's filthy or clean.
It's both.
Right.
At the same time. The tapestries are very dirty.
Mm.
But the inlaid floor, which is a sort of parquetry, I think, if that's a word I could throw in. Is absolutely gleaming, but I mean, by contrast, the tapestries do look pretty weathered. So I need to give them a clean before our guest arrives. So, folks, stay tuned for a new arrival here at the Moon Underwater. Robin, can you hear out of nowhere all this, almost like a symphony of running water, as if we've got sort of new pipes laid beside and above and below us, and there are just absolute streams passing all around the Moon Underwater. It's like being in the middle of a waterfall.
Yeah, a symphony, you'd say.
Yeah, I'd say it's a symphony of water.
Because they're kind of all in tune with each other.
Yeah, it's like an H2 overture.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks, man. But it's strange because I don't remember the pipe work being so frisky.
Well, I tuned the pipes recently.
Ah! Well, there we get to the bottom of the mystery, don't we?
I tuned them to the key of D minor.
Oh, is that a good key?
It's the saddest of all keys, yeah.
Is it? Well, cheer up, pipes. You're doing a great job. We love having you here. But it's very nice to be dry, but to be in the sound of rushing water.
Yes, yes.
But I wonder if it's a portent of a type. Perhaps our guest has... Because on some of the contraptions that we use to ferry our guests from the rift in time, if you use the toilet on them, then when you flush it, it can begin quite extraordinary movements of water throughout the other realm. The correct realm, should I say. Is that fair to say, Robin?
Fair to say? I mean, yeah, God, I don't know, really.
Well, I've said it. Yeah. I've said it, but it's quite elaborate pipe work here,
yes,
in the correct realm.
Yeah.
But I think the shadowy figure at the door bodes no harm, as it must be our guest for this week. And indeed, into the Moon Underwater walks. He's got walks with him. So he remembered, because that's the one thing I'd forgotten. So thanks for picking those up.
I got your memo.
The one thing you can't get in the correct realm is walks.
I brought them all with me with my chainmail.
Hello to you, and welcome, Alex Vlahos, actor, star of stage and screen, both. Tick, tick. Nor one nor the other, but both the twain. You may have seen him in Versailles, Merlin, or Outlander.
Yeah, all of the above.
Which is a story about the history of the Mitsubishi Outlander from its original conception.
It's amazing that they managed to get six seasons out of that as well, isn't it?
It is. Do you know, I thought it would be good for one season, but do you know what? Because they go behind the scenes, behind the scenes.
Well, it was like The Wire, wasn't it? Each series was about a different aspect of the... I loved the handbrake one. That was good.
Yeah.
The handbrake one was... And the bottleneck episode was just mostly based on the airbag. That was fascinating to me.
Fun fact, for a while, John Richardson owned a Mitsubishi Outlander. It was a hybrid. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Mitsubishi Outlander. We're here to talk about your dream pub. But Alex, first of all, j'accuse you of being born in Tumble.
Oh, is that a bad thing?
No, it's
thing
a great
or a
thing.
Good thing. Is this a great... Hang on. I need to interrupt you. It's Upper Tumble.
Upper Tumble.
Because we don't talk about Lower Tumble.
Do you not talk about Lower Tumble?
Well, the Lower Tumbles definitely talk about the Upper Tumbles.
Really?
Because, well, I mean, they're constantly looking up at us, you know, in our sort of, in our steed and our glory and our basking in our sunshine. But no, Upper Tumble. Yes, I'm from Upper Tumble.
Well, yeah. Were you joining me in an audio setting of a different hue? A conversation about Tumble would now begin that would probably take about half an hour. However,
I was in a car with said gentleman filming a show called The Tourist.
For
a tourist trap for BBC Wales. And we started talking, obviously I only spoke in Welsh, and said gentleman said, I used to play ice hockey. I played ice hockey for Cardiff Devils. I played for 10 years. I played for Great Britain. I captained Wales. And said gentleman is obsessed with Welsh sporting success, which is lovely. So that was mostly our conversation. Then we had to act against each other. But that was secondary for Mr. James.
But Robin also has a life not far from Tumble because he spent a lot of time in a Big Willy.
my mum's from Abergwilly.
Lovely.
Near Carmarthen.
Oh, we're all friends here then, aren't we?
Yeah. I think my uncle went to the same school as Ellis, actually. But my mum...
Gwendraith.
Yes.
Gwendraith,
yeah.
I think it is Gwendraith.
Which is where the Gorkies went, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, this is my other stuff.
It's one fact too many for me, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, my mum knows people who know Ellis's mum in that kind of small Carmarthen world, you know.
But you used to... Did you go every summer you used to go and see a Big Willy, didn't you, Rob?
We stayed in Abergwilly with my grandma, yes. And
it's a lovely family-friendly day out.
Well, it's a beautiful part of the world. I used to love going there.
It's a very beautiful part of the world.
Go there very often.
So were you, after a day's filming and they call cut, were you to return to your Winnebago and find it replaced with your dream hostelry, what would we be seeing?
Well, so going back to... I miss ice hockey. I miss it with a passion. And I would love... I don't think it's possible, apart from maybe in Iceland, but I would love if the floor was made of ice.
Oh, wow.
like it.
And I would love it if you, before you entered, you put your brolly in the little bag and you took your hat and your scarf off if it was a cold winter day and you were greeted by a lovely, you know, a gentleman that's got his face, looks like it's been chiselled out of a block of wood, one of those people, who hands you a nice, clean pair of ice skates that are perfect to your size. He knows he doesn't even have to say a word. He just hands them to you and he asks you to skate over to the bar in the middle, one of those circular, beautiful, round bars that you can tackle from every side, and if you can't skate particularly well, there will be some, you know, beautiful man or beautiful woman that will just sort of guide you there and hold your hand before you get your first drink.
That's very nice. I mean, it's an unusual pub,
isn't it?
And quite a risky pub as well, you know.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of broken bones, but. You know, people are coming for the experience, aren't they?
I can't ice skate, and I also hate the idea of it. I've only been once, and I ended up in hospital when I was about 7.
Oh.
Could I... I'd love to... After this, should we go?
Yeah.
No,
I'll take you.
I would absolutely... I don't like anything that puts my ankles at risk, and I don't like anything that sort of balance... Your balance is an issue. I've got quite good balance, but I don't want the risk of me losing my balance to be injury.
Okay. Robin? I feel like this. I'm lost with John. Robin, would you?
I used to enjoy doing it, but I wasn't very good at it. The idea of drinking while doing it doesn't fill me with confidence.
There is a section, obviously, where you can stand, and there's no ice. There must be, but I feel like the first entrance.
Whatever you want in your pub, you get. So you've got this. My concern is, I think there's a reason why this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I hear you. I really do. But
imagine it's a big circle, and the outer circle is sort of a wooden area with booths and tables and chairs.
Yeah, like kind of like a wooden Canadian cabin with sort of nice slats and some little, and also those, like, I love those open fire pits that they have, you know, sort of pits, and they can have them dotted around. Because I feel like, even like subconsciously, I keep rooting back to my, to sort of my Merlin days. It was my first real big sort of job that landed me, and you know, you're covered in either chainmail or fur, and it always, every great scene was gathered around a fireplace. So I feel like people wanting to sort of, you know, have that deep, meaningful chat inside my pub, I feel like little fire pits got botted around and a nice little ice pad in the middle.
The bar staff could be on skates, and they could deliver drinks to those who didn't skate.
Mm.
And those who do skate.
Like in those 1970s roller burger joints and stuff like that. That you see everywhere.
I like it. Okay, brilliant.
So John, are you still going to come to
the pub? I'm
going to
come to the pub. I'm not going to put on any ice skates.
Would there be any fights? I mean, ice hockey is quite famous for punch-ups, isn't there? Would that be an issue?
For sure, but have you seen the figure skating in the Olympics? Have you seen any punch-ups there? Just because, I think it's because they get given sticks and pads. I feel like that, and also they're men that have either just come out of prison or about to go into prison. So I feel like they're on their way, or they've come, it's the fight is part of something that's long held in grudge warfare, you know. Whereas I feel like if it's a nice pair of skates and a nice drink at the end of the bar, hopefully
they'll let's have a bouncer on skates just in case as well. But, you know.
Oh, that would be funny. Like someone like 6'7", 6'8", he's got the tear duct tattoo, and he's in his beautiful white Plimsoll ice skates, just sort of dotting around the place.
Hello, we have this superb podcast called We Didn't Start the Fire, the only podcast started by Billy Joel.
It is the most original, fascinating, and random way to learn the story of the 20th century.
Oh, pretty darned random. And we are joined by some pretty incredible guests.
I only wrote stuff that I wanted to hear. If it turned out to be a hit, it was pure dumb luck.
With me, Katie Puckrick.
And me, Tom Fordyce.
This is We Didn't Start the Fire, the only podcast started by me, Billy Joel.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So at this bar that you can only access via skate, what are your first choices, your draft choices, please, Alex?
My draft choices are, you're going to laugh, but I feel like most of my things that I'm going to say today are going to be apologetic at the start, and there's going to be a very lovely reason behind it. So I'm immediately saying sorry that the first thing that will be on draft would be Carly.
Wow.
Yeah, because my dad doesn't drink anything else. He doesn't. I feel ashamed being on this wonderful podcast to be talking about someone who is so... I've tried so much to broaden his horizons with.
But it's the most popular beer in the country. You can't have a go at someone. If something's popular, it's because people like it.
And it's not the first time it's been on In the Moon Underwater, actually. Alistair Green chose Carling.
Did he? Wow, okay. So, yeah, I feel like I would love my father to come to this pub. My father can skate, that'd be fun. But it's... yeah, he won't drink any. I've really tried. I've even bought him those, you know, those like multi-packs of different coloured and different IPAs. And it's really advertised well. And I thought, even one Christmas, I think I gave it, the plan was that he would get a month delivery. So there was 12 of them. And I think it got to about February where he said, Alex, I'm not drinking.
So what does he drink other lagers?
I mean, at a push, he'll drink a Peroni.
At a push.
He won't be happy. He won't be happy about it. He'll be like this. He'll be sort of squinting almost. Yeah, no. So
after Alistair Green had been on, I think we were recording an episode and I got 4 cans of Carling just to see what it was like. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not like disgusting, you know. It's perfectly drinkable, you know.
I agree with you. I just think there are better are better options, let's say. So yeah, Carling is going to be my first one because I'd love to not have a pub that my dad couldn't visit.
That's so sweet that your first selection is a selfless selection, Alex, and I think that speaks a lot to your values.
Oh, thanks, mate. It's all downhill from here.
What's your second option?
My second option is, well, funny, if I was just listening to your Josh Widdicombe one that came out, and you mentioned Red Stripe. Well, you mentioned the Orangey Boom on tap in a certain pub, right? And the fact that, and so Red Stripe for me takes me straight back to my college days, my drama school days, where it was like a quid a can in this shop opposite Miskin Street, opposite the Sherman Theatre in Cardiff. And there were 6 of us living in this house. 6 of us, and I'll tell you this amazing story where I was seeing this girl, and I was at the girl's house, and it was 3 a.m. and I thought, I'm going to go back to my bed. So I walked back to the house and I opened the door, and a friend of mine was coming down the stairs on an ironing board, like straight out the door, almost Macaulay Culkin-esque for Home Alone. And I was like, and it was the biggest party I've ever seen in this house. And I walked through the living room and I immediately looked up because there was this cloud of dust. I thought the ceiling had collapsed. And my friend who comes from down the stairs, he's like, don't go in the kitchen. And I said, I've already been in the kitchen. He said, I've already been in the kitchen. He decided, because it wasn't snowing, this was around Christmas time, it wasn't snowing, he decided to go and buy 12 bags of flour and decided to make it snow inside. So, I always put it down to that my visual image of that room was this coke, this inch of floury caked thing, because it became quite caked with liquid and like glue.
Disgusting.
And about a bazillion dotted, crushed, half-standing cigarette one of Red Stripe. It was like it was basically like the worst commercial for Red Stripe ever, really. But now looking back, it makes me smile. It's a great story. But it just reminds me.
I think for the first time in my life, I feel sorry for a landlord in this situation.
Well, I was livid because I had a PlayStation 2. And you know those PlayStations have like those vents, you know, those little air vents? It was completely ruined because the flour was all in it. It was impossible. So, his name is Matthew Aubrey. He's from Port Talbot. I'm just naming and shaming him. No, he's a wonderful guy. But I mean, just those times, you know, it takes me back. And even the smell of it takes me, and the click of the can takes me straight back to those summer days between first and second year of living in this student house in drama school.
But you're choosing Red Stripe on draft to go with Carling. I like the idea that there would be a genuine possibility that once you've opened your ice skating Canadian log cabin pub, your dad would refuse to go unless they had Carling, even if they had Red Stripe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly. I'm not red stripe. No, I'm going to go for the other stuff. But yeah, so those are my two draft selections. I feel like one, as they say in acting, one for me, one for them. That's basically what that is. Yeah.
In a nice pub, in a nice pub, in a nice pub, in a nice pub, in a nice pub.
Well, we move on to your cans and bottles to accompany Carling and Red Stripe. What's it going to be? Because there might be quite a lot of broken glass on this ice skating rink.
Sure, I'm going to go from the lowest of the lows to the I hope the nicest of the nice. So I'm having a lovely bottle of white Sancerre, please.
Ooh, like it.
From 2017, 2018, from the Loire Valley. I lived in Paris for 4 years, having filmed in Versailles, and I'm now married. I just got married about a month ago to a French lady. So I feel like my palate of wine, of tasting wine and understanding wine, has grown exponentially, and Sancerre is just the one, my go-to. It's my go-to present buying. Does that make sense? You know, the gift, you're like, to impress my father-in-law, Julie's dad, it was straight with, I think this will go down well, and it did.
It's a good wine to buy people who like Sauvignon Blanc.
Because it's the same.
Because it's a very similar, or it's from the same family, isn't it? But it's just a sort of, it feels classier. It feels like you've put a bit more thought into yeah, it, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah. They've rebadged it.
it's a new updated model. But no, I think it's wonderful. And again, having lived in Paris for 4 years, it was my sort of, if it was on the menu, on the sort of the wine list, then it would be the one. And also, like you said, John, it makes you, it just for some reason, it makes you feel or makes you sound sophisticated. I don't know why that is, but it's like, I'll have the bottle of the Sancerre better than the Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's strange because, like, I was talking a few weeks ago about how I wanted a rosé that was like those sweet rosés you get, like sort of Echo Falls and Zinfandel, but I wanted one that sort of was like a proper grown-up version of that. And they don't really exist apart from this one called Rosé d'Anjou, but I think even that is still a sort of probably looked down on in France. It's probably, you know, just they mix a load of sugar with what's left in the tank from a bad harvest. But I did buy a couple of bottles of Rosé d'Anjou, and because it was £8 as opposed to £4, I felt like a better person drinking it. And it tastes very similar.
Yeah.
Isn't that it in a nutshell? It's like, does it make you feel better in any sort of way before you've had it? And for me, ordering it makes me feel immediately better. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's just the ordering of it. I don't know.
So it's Sancerre 2017-18 from the Loire Valley. I'd love to go to the Loire. Have you ever been to the Loire Valley?
Well, I'm actually getting married again to the same woman, fret not, on May 28th of this year at the Chateau de Bourneau, in a chateau, in a castle.
Amazing. Oh my God. Congratulations.
Thanks. So yeah, we did the legal bit, but it's in the Loire Valley, so it's in Vendée. So and apparently Vendée in the Loire Valley is the hottest sort of continent bit in for summertime. So hopefully, you know, I'm saying this now, it's probably going to rain for the whole weekend, but I'm just...
Are you going to get razzed?
So this is dangerous territory, but I'm having my stag on the Wednesday before the wedding on the Saturday at the chateau.
Oh.
Only to cover myself, because I'm afraid that if I ever went on a stag that I would get lost.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So I feel like having the stag at the chateau, they might find me in like a couple of fields away, but at least I'm not in a different continent.
Yeah,
or country.
But two days recovery, that's okay. I mean...
I feel that's okay. Yeah. We'll soon find out now. We'll soon find out with a penis sharpie on my face, and you know, and but yes.
So, what's your second choice to go along with this superb Sancerre?
I'm a big fan of orange wine. I love orange wine.
Talk to me about what orange wine is, please.
Well, it's skin contact on the grape, right? That's left on the grape. So I don't think they do it for as long. I say this is me on Zoom showing these two gentlemen. I think these are feet. I mean, you get it, right? I'm an actor. You can tell 3 years of drama school just for this, you know. So there's an amazing restaurant. I don't know if you both have been to London, but there's an amazing restaurant in Stoke Newington called Premier. And it's run by a French guy, and he introduced it to me, called Orange Wine. And it looks like it's got loads of sort of discharge at the bottom, and it doesn't look particularly appetizing, and it looks like a cross between a sort of, you know, a really white lightning that's been left out in the sun for too long. And it gets me drunk very quickly. I don't know why that is.
So is it a natural wine? Is that's what they call it, isn't it?
Natural, yeah, bio, and the skin contact remaining on, and I don't think, I'm not the scientist behind this, but I just know that I like it. John's flipping all the big questions about what it is. I don't know, Pam, yeah. It just tastes good.
Well, I've had natural wine before, and it was not a good experience. I got very excited. I didn't get any orange wine, but I did get 3 bottles of natural wine. Cost a hell of a lot of money.
You went big then. You went 3. Let's go 3 straight.
And I got to be honest, they all ended down the sink because they just tasted of vinegar. Is that the taste?
Well,
What's the taste profile?
Can I recommend you one?
Yes, you can, because I want to know exactly which one you want.
It feels like it's quite flat. Does that, I don't know, flat in a good way. Do you know, sometimes you have wine, there's a bit of bubbles in it or something like that, but it feels quite flat. And it doesn't, with red, you know, you can sort of do this with your glass and then you can see if it's syrupy or if it sticks on the glass. With this, it feels quite watery, actually. So water, but I love the taste of it. It's almost like It's like a fruity white, but you know when you have fruity whites, and I mean like the bad fruity whites, like the Blossom Hills of the world, and it's too acidic and it gets you here, and it tastes like carpet cleaner. Well, this feels for me feels like it's the best of everything.
So right? What's it called, this specific one?
So the one that I highly recommend, which is the one when I go to, is called Bodegas Morazza Rioja, and it's a 2018 bottle, and it's really cheap. It's £21, so it's not really cheap. Bodegas Morazza Rioja, but yeah, it's my go-to, and again, I'm now realizing you guys are like therapists for me. I think this is how much do you charge? It's about impressing people. again, it's literally me buying stuff. I like it, but I feel like it's the thing. Hey, come over here and have this orange wine. Oh, what's this? It's a conversation starter. It doesn't end up down the sink.
What's on the cover of this? I'm trying to find it in my mind, this Bodegas Morazza Rioja. I can't find it anywhere.
I think they've changed it. Are you spelling Morazza right?
Oh, I think we're here. I think I've got it. One of the tasting notes is intriguing.
I've got a tasting note here says that they're so intense that you might want to make sure you're sitting down when you first taste them.
That is a hard sell, and I love it.
Is it stronger, orange wine, because of the...
Yeah, I think it's 13, 14%. I don't know if that's stronger.
Well, the one I'm looking at is 11.5%, so that's actually slightly weaker.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, here we go. Is it called Four Caminos?
That's the one.
Yeah,
there
so it's 11.5%. Okay, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give orange wine another go.
Give it a go.
I'm going to give it a go.
If everything else fails from now on, at least I've done one good deed today.
Well, it's good to convince
John.
It's good to experience new things and also not to write things off too early doors, because I sort of wrote off natural
wine.
Well,
I think you're conflating things here. I don't think orange wine is a type of wine. It's not all orange wines are natural wines, I would say.
No, but I think they're part of this sort of low intervention movement, which the natural wine is sort of, I think that's like interchangeable with biodynamic and low intervention, I think.
We shouldn't have started a podcast about booze when we know so little about it, really, should we?
Well, not a lot of people know much about natural wine.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you can't get it in Tesco's, let's be honest.
Do you guys mind if I just interrupt and have a drink? I've been saving this for this podcast.
What are you drinking?
So I'm drinking some, I don't know if you can see, it's called Crossroads Brewery. They're a local brewery in Durham. I went to a Comic-Con recently in Durham. And it's mead, but it's not just normal mead, it's banoffee mead.
Oh my God.
It's mead that tastes like banoffee pie.
Oh, tell me about mead.
Shall I read you the back? It says, what is mead? Mead, created by Vikings, was the first alcoholic drink which was crafted by fermenting a mix of the finest yeast, succulent honey, that glistened in the dark and water from the tears of slain giants and gods. I don't think that last bit's quite accurate, but the dark and the water, and I thought water, this being the thematic tonal thing of this episode, then yeah, so I'm going to have my sip of my Banoffee mead in front of you, gentlemen.
Are you a big mead drinker, or is this sort of a first foray?
This is, well, I look how much is left.
Is that strong? Is that stronger than a what are we talking, like 7-8%, something like that?
Yeah, this is 13%.
Oh, right, 13%. Okay, right, yeah.
And it's one of those things with mead, is that, I don't know, is it like whiskey? Do you have that much? Do you have it?
I think you drink it like wine. I think you base your amount on the alcohol content, really. He's having a big swig.
Tastes like a Banoffee pie. It's lovely.
We were just chatting about mead,
actually, before you arrived.
Because I'm drinking a beer here. We're doing our monthly podcast record of which is called Behind the Cellar Door. And we're doing beer tasting. And I'm drinking this Hiver beer, which has got honey in it, which is really nice. Wow,
great.
It's lovely,
nice?
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for anything that tastes like a dessert. So I used to vape, and I'm watching John vape now. And I used to vape. I met a girl who hated me smoking, so I quit for 2 years and vaped. And my go-to taste on vapes was like peanut butter or tiramisu was one of them, or cheesecake. Or there was one that I found in France that was profiteroles.
Oh, nice.
So I would always... So the house would come back. She'd come back from work, and the house would just stank of a cupcake shop.
Well, that's a nice thing to stink
that's
of.
That's great. I like the idea of French vapes being different to ours. Like there's one of a freshly baked baguette or something. Or Galois.
just the very specific brand of cigarettes. Yeah. Yes, Galois. But yeah, so I used to vape all the time, and that was my go-to. So I think for me, I've just tried that very quickly. The Banoffee mead is delicious. Delicious.
Well, we await to see if your sweet tooth is going to feature in some of your other choices. But before then, we must head over to Robin for the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down. It's time for the quiz. He played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger. That wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey have been deducted 5 points.
Thanks, John. Welcome to this week's Moon Underwater Pub Quiz. No phones, no Googling, because you're just Googling yourself. As ever, I will ask 3 questions and I will provide the answers in part 2. And this week is a very rude quiz.
Oh dear.
As I ask questions about the F word.
Oh dear.
Yeah, brilliant. It's a word we all know and love.
Are we allowed to say the F word on this podcast?
Yeah, we can, but I think we draw the line at the C word.
We're not on a podcast, we're in a pub.
Oh yeah, sorry.
You say what you like in a pub.
Of course, yeah. I apologize. I should have sworn earlier then. I apologize for taking it back. I said frisbee instead of
frisbee. That's great. Frisbee. There's, you know how we say sugar instead of shit? There's a good, my French friend Lionel, instead of saying putain, he says purée.
Purée?
Sauce. Yeah, I like that. That's great. Anyway, I try not to swear because my nephews sometimes listen to this and anyway, it's fine. But I'm going to say the F word, not the actual F word, if you know what I mean. So 3 questions. What's that?
I said, what a cop-out. I want you to say it.
You want me to say it? Well, I'll say it once.
And you have okay, to, great.
And I'm going to surprise you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Question one is, this is one where I need you to get as near as possible to the number. Question one, how many times is the F word used in the film Scarface? Cocaine enthusiast Tony Montana, how many times is the word used in the whole film, not just by him?
You're five. That's me doing my really bad Pacino mixed with someone who's clearly having a stroke.
Okay, question two. You might know this one, actually. In what year was the F word first spoken on BBC television? Bonus point if you know who said it. In what year was the F word first spoken on BBC television? And a bonus point if you know who said it. Okie dokie. Question three. On Radio 1's chart show in 1993, Bruno Brooks accidentally played the unedited version of which song, which contains 5 instances of fuck. It's fact-checking Robin from the future. It's actually 17 times.
Can you tell me what year again that was?
1993. I said it then. I said the F word. Sorry. So those are your 3 questions. Very rude quiz about the F word.
Very rude quiz about a very rude word. Well, we leave you now, folks. This is the end of part one of Alex Vlahos' dream pub, and it's an unusual one. It's got ice on the floor and skates at the door and a wood-chiselled face handing you your boots. It's also got, I think probably more because for my comfort, it's got a wooden outer ring where those who are averse to skating or risk-averse are able to enjoy their drinks brought to them by the bar staff on skates. Inside, he has Carling for his dad and the Red Stripe for his memories. He also has a white Sancerre from the Loire and a Bodegas Moratza Rioja. Four Caminos, 11.5% orange wine. If you would like to hear Behind the Cellar Door, the bonus missive that Robin and I record in the cellar here at the Moon Underwater, you can go to patreon.com/moonunderpod to find out how to support the podcast and get the free goodies. But we will see you back very soon for part two, where we will get the answers to the rude quiz and also the rest of Alex's choices. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.